are glad to be here. We adjust our emotions. We bring our feeling under control and we say, we are glad to be here tonight. We thank you for your faithfulness, goodness this morning. We ask that you speak to us. We give you our full attention. We come with a humble heart, willing mind. We thank you for speaking to each one of us. Thank you for helping us to hear you where we need to hear you. We ask that your spirit will open our eyes, enlighten our minds, so that we can be fruitful with what we have heard tonight in Jesus' name. And we give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Now open your eyes. Before we sit down, remember I was praying, I said we should pray about the roads, right? And they start fixing the road, right? Okay, let's thank God for the road and ask God for more. It won't just only be Abeokuta, it'll be everywhere. Can we pray? Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for the roads. Thank you for the government response to the road. We ask that more shall be done. More shall be covered. God's glory will manifest in the name of Jesus. The Lord will use them to do more, even beyond what we see right now. Let's ask the Lord to help the people and agencies involved to do good work, thorough work, and that they will not be slow in Jesus' name. Let's pray for our economy. In the same way, let's ask God to help our economy. Hallelujah. Let's ask God to help our economy. Can we just ask him, Lord, please help our economy. You know what to do. You know where to touch. You know who to speak to. You know what we need to act. We just ask you for help. You say you are very present help in trouble. Lord, our economy has been some bad troubles for some time now. So we are asking for your help, your assistance in the name of Jesus. Finally, ask him, say, Lord, help my own economy as a person. Help me, help my economy. Help me to handle my life this moment so that I will not go down and I will not lose out. That this will be a time for me to learn lifelong lessons, to be better and to ask him for help, ask him for grace. The Bible says he will give us grace in the time of need to help us in time. I say, Lord, I'm asking for, God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Lord, I'm asking for your grace to abound to me. I will have sufficiency in everything and abundance to be of good works in the name of Jesus. And I'll give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sit down, everybody. Good evening. Nice to be around. Let's get into the word of God. If you are just joining us for our first time in this teaching, fantastic. We are talking about somebody at work. Who is that? Jesus at work. Jesus getting things done. And we read Matthew 4. You're welcome. Matthew 4. Let's go to Matthew 4, verse 1. This is where we have been stuck for a while now. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by who? By the devil. So we have been dealing with Jesus going to the wilderness and tempted. So we're talking about temptations for some time. Now, we're talking about the tempter himself, the devil. And I didn't want to spend too much time, but sometimes it's good to just stop there and learn a few things. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4 one more time. Verse 2. Take a look. It says, for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted, and then he became very hungry. You know the meaning of that? How many of you have been very hungry before? Very hungry. Not just hungry. You know. Look at next verse. Then, can you give us in NKJV? That's the word they use there. Uh-huh. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. We've spent some time on the tempter. Let's go to chapter 12, the book of Revelation. That's where we were. And I talked about that dragon last week, if you are with us. Let's go down there. 12 verse 6. Or let's jump down to verse 8. Okay, verse 9. Beautiful. So the great dragon was cast out. That serpent of old, called who? The devil and Satan, who deceives the whole. Let's put it like this: who deceives the whole wide world? Hello, www. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Are we here? Said, are we here? Okay, beautiful. So we were looking at the person called the devil, and then we're looking at who the Bible called him. There are all kinds of books and theories about the devil. But let's look at what the Bible said, particularly New Testament. It said, the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil. And so it was called dragon. It's called serpent of old. Now, that's the serpent in the Garden of Eden. Remember that? Remember that? Then it's called the devil. The word devil means evil at its full, absolute manifestation. That simply means that because it's evil at its absolute manifestation, it cannot be redeemed. Hello? Are we here? Are we here? Said, are we here? For instance, oxygen is pure. You cannot redeem oxygen from oxygen. It's a fundamental thing. Of course, H2O, water, is both hydrogen and oxygen. You can recover oxygen from water. You can recover the O from the H2O, but you can't recover the O from O. You can't. So the devil is absolute evil. So he cannot be redeemed. Pastor, how come? Somebody said, how could God ever allow the devil? Because the devil, God is not you. See what I just said? Hear what I just said? Hello? You know, sometimes we are through this. So how could the devil allow, how could God allow the devil? Because God is not you. You see, because you are impotent and weak, you can't tolerate anything else. Huh? Hello? You don't want anything to mess you up and give you stress. But God is absolute power, and he cannot be terrified by anything. So he gives to his subject freedom. So that's why the devil could come up with evil, because God is not a tyrant. Let's go to how the devil come up. Someone said, see, really, I don't want to spend time on how the devil came and go. The only problem I want to have is, what is he doing here? Are you here? If a thief come to your house, I don't want to know how he was born, how he became a thief. I just wanted to see that I get my goods back. Are you hearing me? All that is just pure theoretical thing. You know, where did the devil come from? Before this world. You know, it sounds good, esoteric, and good for studies. But you listen. Are we here? Are we here? There is a difference between when you are in your parlor, you are having your AC on, you are drinking Five Alive, and you are reading a book, How to Escape Being Lost in the Wilderness or in the Desert. See, you are in your house drinking Five Alive. How can you escape being lost in the wilderness? You can study there and study the beginning of lostness in the wilderness. You can study how lostness takes place. But when you are lost in Sahara Desert, you don't need the theory of lostness. You need how to get out of that place. Is that right? Someone said, I want to know everything about the devil. Get to heaven first. When we get to heaven, a lot of things we will learn, but we don't know now. But meanwhile, you can't be studying, you know, it's like you go to, you know, Boko Haram to go and fight them, and then everybody gets their gun, you're about to point, and you are saying, let's study the story at the beginning of Boko Haram, how it began in the Northeast. Your head is already gone. Do you get what I'm saying? I must say, you know, usually people that want to study things like that, they don't have anything they are facing. Am I making some sense? So what we are here to do is to actually understand where we are and where he is and what we can do about him. Is that all right? Does that make some sense? Okay, let's go a step further. So some Bible verses talk about the devil, but it's not very clear. The origin of the devil, it's not very clear in the Bible. And God didn't get us to do that a lot. In fact, if you look at your Bible, the Old Testament hardly talk about the devil. Hardly. Nobody cast the devil out in the Old Testament. They had physical enemies like the Philistines and all that stuff. But nobody actually faced the devil. Job was the only one that was beaten by the devil. And he never knew it was the devil beating him. He thought it was God. He didn't know the difference. He said, shall we receive good and not evil from God? So the knowledge of Satan was made not to be clear to them. Of course, when we read the book of Job, we can see God and the devil discussing over Job's life. But when you come down to Job's life himself, he didn't do anything like that. Someone said, how come? Because the world had gotten advanced spiritually than where it was before. When Adam sinned in the garden and they left the garden, they left with, you know, some knowledge. But after a while, it became so bad that everywhere became idol worshiping. But Job was the greatest person in the East. He was perfect. Now, just imagine, that's God's best. Job was God's best. Are you hearing me? What I say, Job was God's best. And why did they write the book of Job? To convince us that even God's best was faulted. Now, Job had everything good, and the devil came and beat him up. And you know what? The book of Job, all the argument was that, Kenny Musa follow me. What did I do? I was trying to follow God, and he's giving me all this evil. What's the problem? We know the problem because the devil was there. We know now, we can read John 10. Like I told you last week, the book of Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible before Abraham, Genesis, and Co. Now somebody said, but why didn't Abraham have a problem with the devil? Because, see, God made a covenant with Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now listen, whoever blesses you, I will bless him. Whoever curses you, I will curse him. Now, the devil could not go to God and tell God to turn away and he will hit Abraham. He can't do that. Why? Because God had a covenant with Abraham. Just like now, if you notice the war, Hamas and Israel. America is on the side of Israel. So when the war broke out, you can't get America not to back Israel because they had a defense pact. Are you hearing me? So that's a defense pact. That's a defense pact between God and Abraham. There was no defense pact between God and Job. Hello? You see, there was no mediator between God and Job. Between Abraham and God, there was a mediator called the covenant. They killed sacrifices and they had mediating influence. Job 9, come and see. Hallelujah. So it was raw with Job. See, some things need to be clear to us, or else we just be stumbling around in the dark. Job chapter 9. Let's read some verses there. Am I making some sense? Where do we start from? Look at verse 20. Let's just from verse 20. NLT, give us an NLT. Job 9:20. So, see, this is Job talking. This is Job. If you look at verse 1, it says, Job answered. Let's look at it. Then Job spoke. This is Job, right? Not his three friends. Let's go to verse 20 now. He was speaking, though I am innocent, NKJV says righteous, my own mouth will pronounce me guilty. Though I am blameless, it will prove me wicked. Next verse. I am innocent. But it makes no difference to me. I despise my life. It's just Job talking. Let's keep reading. Innocent or wicked is all the same to God. Are you following? This is the best God got that time. A lot of people don't read the book of Job. They just assume they are Job. Are you hearing this? You are not Job. You are a child of God. Let's keep reading. That's why I say he, God, destroys both the blameless and the wicked. Now you know that's not what he did. He was even feeling sad that the devil dealt with him. Why are you here? Sometimes, don't listen to preachers too much. Read the Bible yourself. There's something about what I do a lot. I read the Bible when I'm talking. You know, a lot of people, you just be coming and be giving you kind of, you know, God said, I can tell you this. I declare. Hello, I decree. Now, don't do that. You know, I don't do people like this. You know, when you start saying, by the way, tomorrow, people start standing up and be saying, I receive it. I don't do that kind of thing like that. I just talk the word of God, then you act on it and follow it through. I can't just make some of this thing. I can say, by next week, you become a millionaire. I don't want to say that. But I can say this, my grace has supplied all your need. That's okay for me. That's the word of God. You are safer that way than saying you're a millionaire, because if you don't become a millionaire now, I'll become your enemy and you backslide from Jesus. Is that all right? But sure, that's a prophetic word. How many are coming to pass? Okay, let's go further. So he said, see, he destroys both. So Job was thinking, God is the one destroying both the wicked and the blameless. But we know better, don't we? We know it was the devil that was destroying Job and taking away all his enemies, all his animals. Let's keep reading. When a plague sweeps through, he laughs at the death of the innocent. Is that God? As far as Job is concerned, God's at work. You know, our Father is not like that. Let's keep reading. The whole earth is in the hands of the wicked, and God blinds the eyes of the judges. You see, if he's not the one who does it, who is there? See, are you? Can you see Job now? Hello, I'm Job. You're not Job. You don't call God crazy. God's not. How many of you? God is wicked here. If you say yes, I'll send you out. You go and take a good bath and come back. God is good. Let's keep reading. My life passes more swiftly than a runner. It flees away without a glimpse of happiness. Next verse. It appears like a swift, papyrus boat, like an eagle sweeping down on its prey. That's my life. Next verse. If I decided to forget my complaint, to put away my sad face and be cheerful. What is the next? I will still dread all the pain, for I know you, God, will not find me innocent, oh God. Let's keep reading. Whatever happens, I'll be found guilty. So what's the use of trying? Job really went really berserk. And that's what problems do. Problem can make one really go berserk. No matter, Bible call him perfect. Am I right? Blameless. Am I right? Greatest man in the East. He broke down. That means God was showing us something from here, that even the best of all men, under devil's struggles, they can balk, they can crack. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? How many of you have ever had pain before? Really bad pain. You start saying, no? You don't even know that. So if you've never had pain, you know what? See, sometimes when things really get on your neck, it can really. So what's the use of? Let's look at next verse. This is where I'm going. Even if I were to wash myself with soap and clean my hands with lye, what will happen is, you will plunge me into a muddy ditch, and my own filthy clothing will hate me. Let's keep reading. God is not a mortal like me, so I cannot argue with him or take him to trial. Why is he doing all this to me? Next verse. Praise God. See, if only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. What's he looking for? I'm not hearing your voice. What is he looking for? A mediator. Let's look at next verse. The mediator could make God stop beating me. Huh? It's a referee. I'm looking for a referee between me and God that will blow whistle. Just imagine. Do we have any football club? Abekutaya. Football club, Abekutaya. Do you have anyone? Gateway. Okay, Gateway. Used to be Abiola Babes, right? Gateway. Now, can you imagine Gateway is playing against Man U? These are star-studded team. I mean, the Man U will just kick the guy, throw him around, and everybody say, hey, you're already overpowered. So you have to have a referee that can stop. You know, I mean, can you imagine referee Messi is playing? Everybody will let it, Messi, so called Joe. But a referee will say, no, you can't stop. That's not true. Stop. Offside. We need somebody who can. I'm here. Stand really well. Job was saying, I need somebody between me and God that can blow whistle on God and blow whistle on me. Wow. Pastor, what do you say? So he said, I need somebody who can say, God, Ejo, am I in Labai? And he also said, Sunday, you are not serious here. God will deal with you. If I get such a mediator, I will no longer live in terror of his punishment. Wow. Now, hold it there. Go to chapter 8, the book of Hebrews, verse 6. Just hold it there. We are coming back here. Chapter 8, verse 6, the book of Hebrews. But now, Take a look, talking about Jesus. But now, Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry in as much as he's also mediator of what? A better covenant established. So, we have a mediator between God and us now that can blow whistle on God and blow whistle on us. That can say, God, don't go that far. I have taken their punishment for them. Job didn't have that. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense? Okay, beautiful. So let's can we go a step further? Job didn't have this mediator. He was saying, I wish I had a mediator between me and God who can just plead for me, who can say God is tired. Pastor, what is the work of a mediator? How many of you remember Moses in the Bible? How many of you know Moses in the Bible? Ten Commandments. Remember him? Okay. Moses was like a mediator for the house of Israel, between God and house of Israel. So Moses was standing between God and Israel. And once in a while, Israel will mess up. Like one time, you know, God came down on Mount Sinai. There was fire, thunder, smoke, lightning everywhere. Every place was shaking. And then God said to Moses, are we listening, everybody? Come up. I want to give you the Ten Commandments. And Moses came up to the mountain. While receiving the Ten Commandments, the people in the valley that they see God, thunders and lightnings and noises, said to Aaron, the deputy pastor, the vice president of the ministry, said to Aaron, we can't find Moses. Look, this guy is gone. With the fire still there, let's make God for us that take us back to Egypt. And Aaron was a very powerful communicator, but he no get chest. Are you hearing me? He got to say, he got communicate, he no get chest. He just bent and he said, okay, let me, so he made a God for them. Are you listening? And he made a God for them. And they were rejoicing. Guess what happened? God said to Moses, listen, your people. Which people? No, he's the mediator. So he said, your people have done crazy things. And leave me alone. Let me destroy them. Why did God was asking for permission from Moses? Because he was their mediator. Huh? And then Moses said, Lord, please, you can't do that. Huh? He said, no, you can't go that way because, number one, they will laugh at you. Those who are surrounding us that you are a lazy God. You couldn't finish your job from Egypt to the promised land. That's why you kill them in the wilderness. Second, you are a forgiving God. Please, I pray, spare them or else remove my name from the book of life in their stead. Wow. God said, I'll not remove your name because you are not offending me, but I'll deal with them. So Moses now begged God for them. That's a mediator. Begged the referee. He calm down, God. Are you hearing me? Then he went to the valley and he went mad. He took the Ten Commandments. You know, he was his stammerer. So he came and said, Aaron, what did you do? He didn't have time. He couldn't talk, but he had chest. Aaron had mouth, but had no chest. So, you know, he just smashed the Ten Commandments. So the tablet broke. with Samsung and Apple. Just broke. That's why it took such a long time before they got another tablet. So he broke the tablets, and then he said, everybody, it would the priest kill all those who are the masters of distance. So they kill them. Now wait, I thought he just begged for them up there. That's a referee. He climbed up both places. Hallelujah. Are we hearing me? So, how do we get here? We're talking about the devil and Job in the Old Testament. So nobody could face the devil under the Old Testament. Nobody. I mean, Job, the best of God, messed up. Hallelujah. Somebody said, okay, who is this devil? Where did he come from? How did he? We know one thing. The devil is a spirit. He's not a human being like you. Huh? Jesus called him a spirit. It's called the old serpent, dragon, devil is a spirit. Now let's go. So some Bible verses talk about him, but it's not clear. Let me be honest with you. It's not very clear. Like, let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Now, these verses have been quoted about the devil before, but it was not clear. It's not clear. We were not there, and there was no clear cut. The only clearer thing we had is from Jesus. Before we read this one, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 44. This is what we had from Jesus. John 8, 44. You have your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer. See that? He was a killer. He was a life destroyer from the beginning. So the devil had a beginning as a murderer, as a life taker. And he does not stand in the truth. So Jesus said, the devil is the kind of person that he will no longer want to stand in the truth or by the truth or for the truth. Because there is no truth in him. Like I told you, there is no good in him. There's no truth in the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the person who gives birth to lies. Are we here, everybody? Are we here? What is a lie? You can't have a lie without the truth. Because simply, a lie is a distortion of the truth. Is that clear? A lie is not facing the reality of the truth. Did you take the meat? You took the meat, but you don't want to face the reality. I didn't take the meat. Until they say, open your mouth, and they find the strands of the stuff. And then they slap you, boosha. Who took the meat? I didn't take the meat. Now, if you are A level in line, you will deny it until they find the DNA of the meat in your mouth. But if you are still O level, why the jewel? Are you hearing me? You know, there are different levels of degrees of wickedness. That's why I believe that there'll be departments in hell. Oh, there'll be departments in hell. People that are really, really crazy. For instance, Abacha. Wrong by anything. Adolf Hitler. When he speaks a lie, so we know from the beginning he was a life taker, he was a destroyer. Let's go back to Isaiah 14 verse. So we don't have, this is what we know from Jesus, who was in heaven. We'll see that in a minute. Before he came here, let's go to Isaiah 14 verse 12. It's not very clear, but let's just read it. So if you've read all kinds of books, both hard copy and online, about Satan and all kinds of things, and you know, so you want to stop. Don't take everything you read online. Hallelujah. I was given a revelation that the devil is the cousin of, stop that. You know, how have you fallen from heaven? Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations with his lies. Let's read more. Somebody said that one, Lucifer, was devil's name before he fell. That's what he said. But this story is talking about that. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. This sounds like a kind of person going to high place, and God's throne is somewhere there, and the stars of God, the angels, and stuff like that. There's a mountain of the congregation. It's in Hebrews 12, saying that we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly, to the festive gathering. All right, so those who have been to heaven, those who, and also Daniel said, when you enter the throne room, there are millions and millions of people there, and there are tens of millions there. Can you imagine? So the throne room is not just a parlor. Huh? It's a big, big, awesome place. You know, one young girl just had the revelation of heaven in our church. She just showed me yesterday. She got to heaven. She saw rapture taking place. You know, and she saw commotion on the earth. She saw people over there wearing gold. And he said, I saw my dad. I saw my mom. I saw Pastor and Pastor Mrs. That sounds really weird. You know? And as she was describing things they wear on their head, this wear was soft. She said, it's not cardboard you are wearing, it's pure gold. It's more kid, you know. Basically, I'm saying, you wear cardboard during all this drama. He said, she saw some angels, they have level of wings that are just amazing, different levels of wings on them, you know. I could see the golden floor. You know? We try to get the testimony sorted out. You know, we get did some recording with the mom talking about it. All right. So, this is what. Next verse. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So, sounds like the devil. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3. What is the sin of the devil, actually? According to Timothy, this is what he says. 1 Timothy 3. Paul was just speaking in passing, and he said this. Let's find it. Verse 6. 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. Not a novice. Take a look at this verse. I just want to take something out of here. Let's being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as who? All right. So you can see. So the real sin of the devil is pride. If you go back to what we just read, what is pride? Go back to Isaiah 14, verse 13. Take a look. 14, verse 12. For you have said in your heart, there's one word common there, I. Let's count them. I, 2, I, 3. Next verse. 4, 5. And the highest word, I want to be like the Most High. I want to be in the same class. I want to sit with God and be equal to Him. And what happened next? Next verse. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depth of the pit. That's what the Bible scholars assume that he's talking about the devil there. And it sounds like it. Let's go to 28 Ezekiel. We don't have clarity. It's not so clear. But let's just look. I don't. I'm not putting emphasis. Like I told you again, I don't need to know really the devil's origin. I need to just stop him right now in my life. When we get to heaven, after all the rest and peace, we sit down and discuss how, and then we will. It'll be better by and by. Hello? Hello? Better by and by, 28 Ezekiel. Let's read some other ones over there that will give us some. Okay, this sounds like it too, but you know, it's not very clear. Let's go to verse. This is it. It's as if God was talking to somebody and somebody beside him. Verse 11. Moreover, word of the Lord came to me saying, all right, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord. See, according to Bible scholars, they said this actually was a double talk, not lying, a double prophecy. God was speaking to the king, was talking to the devil behind that king. So they said, he was talking about, you are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That cannot be a human being. No human being is a seal of perfection and as full and perfect in beauty. There'll be some kind of mistake somewhere there. Next verse. You are in Eden. That king was not in Eden, the garden of God. Now, look at this person talking about. We're talking about what was his constitution. You know yourself now. You have flesh and bones and fingernails and what? Hair, right? That's all you are. Right? That's all you are. Flesh and bone, fingernails and hair. Anything else? Anything else? That's all you are reduced to. You know that it's put in different combination in each person. Right? But he said, this guy, it was every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the tobas, the diamond. I mean, this guy was made with diamond. Was made with beryl and onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbers or musical instrument and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So this guy was precious stones moving. I mean, if you see, so all this picture of the devil like this, it's not the picture of the devil. With long tail, two horns, carrying pitchfork, and dance like that. You know this Christian drama, I will kill you, I kill you. That's devil deceiving us. And that's what he is. No, he said, can you imagine having musical instruments in you? My desire is that when I get to heaven, I will learn how to play keyboard and sing well, like Sister Uchi. Until then, we'll be managing. But this guy got instruments in him. Man, let's keep reading. You are the anointed cherub. Did you read that over there? We didn't read that one. You are the anointed cherub. Oh, gracious goodness. I'll get over here today. So much to say. See that word, cherub. Have you said before? Cherubim and seraphim. Have you said that before? You hear? Pastor is going to attack somebody again now. I'm not attacking anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, see that word, cherub. Cherub. Anointed, that means empowered cherub. Who covers? Who covers? Who is, and I established you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walk back and forth in the midst of fiery of fire, of stones of fire. So, what's a cherub? Or a cherub? Or cherub, let's call it a cherub. 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 The first time you see cherub in the Bible was when God wanted to stop them from getting to the tree of life. Let's go and read it. Cherub. Genesis 3. Oh boy. Kila enter luni baisha. Okay, we still have time. Genesis 3. So you need to get some of this knowledge to help you. Are we at Genesis 3? Look at verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. So don't know God. Now let's put out his hand and take us to the tree of life and live forever. Next verse. So the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to the ground from which he was taken. And he drove out the man and he placed what? Cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden. And a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. So cherubim is an order of angels. They look different. I wish I can show you. Next few minutes. Cherubims, that they are special kind of angels that cover the... Now, it goes on a little bit advanced as we go further now. They also around the throne of God. When God goes somewhere with his throne, they are under his throne carrying the throne. They are around God. Can I show you some picture of cherub? Should we see this one? Let's take a look. Ezekiel 1. If you, have you ever read this place? Let's so you know what devil is not Orogun God. It was a cherub that was created by God to cover. I mean, just like to cover the tree, to cover whatever that's it. So it's an angel, it's a messenger. It's not like Star Wars, that one God of the universe from this end, another God of the universe from that end met, and they go into Tarathon, something like obviously you watch on Star Wars. It's not like that. Let's go to Ezekiel 1. Let's take a look at how they look like. Let's go to NLT. Maybe you help us from verse 5. You know. Let's start from verse 1. We'll talk about cherub, how they look like. On July 31st of my 38th year, that's Ezekiel, while I was with the Judean exiles beside the Kebar River in Babylon, the heavens were open. And what did I see? I saw the visions of who? Like this verse, this chapter is very scary. So if you don't like horror films, cover your eyes. It's not really horror films. I mean, first time I read it in my room years ago, later I read it and I was okay, you know, but let's read. Let's verse. And this happened during the 50th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, all right? The Lord gave this message to Ezekiel, son of Buzi, beside the Kebar River, land of the Babylonians, and he felt the hand of the Lord take hold of him. Next verse. It's really amazing. This is going to give us vision of God. It's going to show us God. Hello? All right. I saw a great storm coming from the north. Remember I said to sit by the side of the north, remember? We just read that I'm going to climb up, sit by the side of the north. Remember? Let's keep reading. I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire inside that cloud. And in the middle of that fire glowed something like a gleaming amber. Amber is like bronze, brown, and, you know, shining and fiery. Next verse. From the center of that cloud came four living beings that looked human. Oh, see, as that thing was approaching, it was coming from the north, coming down northern pole, going toward Israel. It was by Kebar River in Jordan, in Babylon. And that thing was just coming. It was looking like, first of all, like a ball of fire. And as it came near, it saw inside that cloud, it saw four looking like human beings, right? What they look like? Let's read. Except that each had four faces and four wings. Are you here? How many faces do you have? Shonto, how many faces? Wow, thank you. Now, see, you have face like this, face like this, face like this, face like this. It's that kind of thing, just pass out. You know? Their legs were straight. They don't have any curve like our own, like a straight line down. And their feet had hoofs like those of calf and shone like burnished bronze. Like their legs were straight. They're always crooked like this somewhere. You have nails and coats. There's no nail, there's no nothing. You're like straight line down like that, like ruler. And they have four faces. What's the face like? Let's keep reading. Their legs were straight. Is that, have you jumped verse 5? Have you read verse 5? Verse 6? Verse 7 now? Okay, verse 8. Let's go. Under each of their four wings. So they got four wings. So they got four faces. They got wings under this face, wings under this face, wings under this face, wings under this face. Agbaku. I mean, just imagine you walk into that kind of a being. What will you do? And under each of their wings, I could see human hands. Now, this is getting really bizarre, just think about that. I mean, yeah, well, this creature, human face, you know, human face has four faces, then it got four wings, and under the wings you see human clearly. Let's keep reading. And the wings of each living being touch the wings of the other beings beside it. Now, these are huge creatures, the big thing, not just kind of people looking like you. The tall, big, and taller than this house. This house care, but where? Each one moves straight forward. And then, see. When you have only one face, if you're torn, what do you do? You do like this. Now, they got four faces. They don't have to turn. They're going this way, they just start going. They have face over there. They're going this way, just start going that way. They're going that way. If you go back, you don't have to do like this. They got faces on all directions. I think they're going to come. So they don't have to turn. They just go. Let's keep reading. Each had a human face in the front, face of lion on the right, and face of an ox on the left, face of an eagle at the back. You got the face? What's the face at the front? Huh? They look like you. On right side, Malu. Left side, what? Lion. Then back. See this eagle with his beak and his eyes penetrating. Now, come. Next verse. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings. One pair, so they got two stretched out pairs. One pair stretched out to touch the wings of the living beings on the either side of it. So the other part covered there, but you got these two pairs. So here they are four in the corner. Let's say four like that four corner. So they got this one that go this way, touch that one, touch that one, touch that. So they form that kind of a thing around it. So can you see them? Here, there. And they got wings that cover their bodies too. Then they got two that stretch forth from here to there, and here to there. That one touch. So there's a kind of a closure. Let's keep reading. They went in whatever direction the Spirit chose, and they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Let's keep reading. And the living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and lightning seemed to flash back and forth among them. So one there, they look like burning torches, like lamp. And then it's like the shoo, just like that, man. It's like, have you ever seen Transformer having problems? Have you ever seen? I know you won't wait. Wow, power. You know, science actually said, I read science actually said that when the universe was created, there was a ball of fire that was so small. That's what they claim. They don't know what it is because they think that's just physical. And bursts into the universe. I know what busted. That cloud busted the universe into operation. Clap your hands for Jehovah God. Some of you are doing like this. We are not sure which one will come after you. Oh, boy. You know, I told you, I warned you that I don't want to go that way. But let's just dig it. Go back over and read this. When you sleep, you start having some dreams. You'll be scared. I mean, can you imagine what just come to your room and knock at the door and he has head of lion, head of an ox, head of an eagle, and say, hello, with a human face. Let's keep reading. And the living beings darted to and fro. So they don't move like that. They don't move like we move. They just, you know, like that. You know, that's how they move. They dart, you know. And just like that, lightning between them. They just move like that, you know, like that. They're not like us that slow and pick up speed. Let's keep reading. And as I look at these beings, I saw four wheels touching the ground beside them. One will belonging to each other. So as they stand straight like that with their four faces, they got a big wheel, you know, like that kind of thing for a tire of a vehicle. You know, just right there beside them. And very huge wheels. Let's keep reading. The wheels sparkle as if made of beryl. All four wheels look alike and were made the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. You hear? To get it? So the wheel turn like, another one's turning inside it. The turn inside it. Pastor Klawaka. You be devil awaka kini. Are you here? Okay. Are you still here? I've been scared out of this place. Now, when the beings flew upward, the wheels rose up. For the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. So that wheel beside them is where their spirit is. Your own spirit is inside of you, but their own is in the wheels. That wheel is turning and turning. Wheel turning and turning. Let's keep reading. Next verse. Spread out above them was a surface like the sky. So, see, they are here with their hands like this, lightness and everything. And then above their head, that's where I was going. Above their head was a surface like the sky. Blue, you know. And it's like crystal. So they were carrying this cloud on their head. I'm going somewhere. Why am I telling you all this? I'm talking about cherub, right? Okay. Green like crystal on top of their head. You know, it's just sky. Plain blue sky. Let's go. Next verse. And beneath this surface, the wings of each living being stretched out to touch the other's wing. And each had the two wings. Remember that wing touching the other? But beneath that surface of the cloud. Are you here? Are you following? Or you're going home? Next verse. As they flew, their wings sounded to me like waves crashing against the shore, like the voice of the Almighty, like the shouting of a mighty army. Do you hear that? So their wings, when they're like, you know, you just whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, the kind of noise you hear is like jets, plane just moving. Are you here? Let's keep reading. When they stop, go back. When they stop, their wings are let down to cover themselves. But when they move, they go up. And when the wings make noise, it's like going to barbage with serious crashing waves. Next verse, quickly. Be with me. I'm rounding up. As they stood with the wings lowered, wow, this is where I was going. A voice spoke from beyond the crystal surface above them. You hear? Remember, what was the vision? The vision of who? Now, you're going to see how God looks like now. You're not going to see his face, but you're going to see how God looks like now. When God is in his throne room, he can go somewhere, like he came down to Jerusalem now, from heaven, he came down to come and see the temple, because they were messing up there. He had angels there, so he came with that on him. That was, now, surprise, surprise, surprise. That was the word, logos of God, that we now call Jesus. It was the Lord Almighty then. You know, before Abraham was, I am. It was a spirit being then. Let's keep reading. Above this surface was something that looked like a throne made of blue lapis lazuli. If you see lapis, it's a precious stone that is blue-like. So we know the color of God's throne now. It's a little bit blue. Huh? And on this throne, high above was a figure whose appearance resembled a man. We are made in his image, likeness, am I right? So if you are made in his image, we look like him, you look like us, right? You hear?
Pastor, I just want to know how to get dollar.
Eli, we go dollar and add Doni. It is born upon the fire, the strength. Now let's look at this person on the throne. How does he look like? Look at next verse. He said, from what appeared to his waist up, it looked like gleaming amber, flickering like a fire. So if you look up that being on the throne, on those four winged creatures, like fire. And from his waist down, it looked like a burning flame, shining with splendor. Bible says, God is a consuming. That's literal. Energy without limits. Let's keep reading. All around him was a glowing halo, like a rainbow shining. See, did you see that? Revelation 2. On that throne, God that was sitting on the earth, like fire all around, there's a rainbow around him. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. All the seven colors in there around the throne. When I saw it, this is what the glory of the Lord looked like to me. When I saw it, I fell face on the ground and I heard someone's voice speaking to me. Let's stop there. Pastor, why did you go through all this? You see those creatures? This is why they call cherub. They are covering. They are when God travels, he goes on them. They carry the throne. They run. They are. And the devil was made in that kind of order. Are you hearing me? Pastor, I'm not interested. Don't worry. Don't worry at all. After this life, you will spend eternity with them. Tim? And thank God, you won't look like this. You'll be changed.
Pastor, I really don't care. I just know how to keep life going here. I can't keep life going here.
Sorry, Joe. You're so consumed by this life. Have you seen, when I was coming to church, I didn't see it. I'm coming to church. You got past that place. My wife said, that's a dead man in the taxi there. I didn't look. I said, what? So I wanted to turn, but the car's already moved and the taxi was behind us. My wife said, don't you notice that? You know, so I saw the man sitting down in the car. They propped him up, covered his face. I said, how do you know? He said, they put green leaves around that kind of a thing. It's a dead man sitting in the car. Everything gone. Now he's left to his spiritual value. And if he has none, hell, straight. But thank God we are dealing with eternal one. And our life does not end here. That gives me so much hope. It's not only here. Praise God. I'm working for that day. My greatest ambition in life, I was very ambitious before, very, very ambitious. My kind of ambition was not to compete. It's to see somebody behind me 10,000 meters away. When I get AAA, let's first begin CCC kind of thing. But then I drop other ambition. I have only one ambition now. I want to see Jesus and the Father face to face. I want to stand in that throne room. Praise God. I want to hear him say, welcome. You did all your possible best. I don't want to hear this. Come through the back door. Say, Walisha. I want to get down there and they are singing Heaven's National Anthem. I know it's not Arise or Compatriots. Glory to Jesus. So that's where I live my life here. I'm living my life based upon that. When I was in secondary school, I lived my life based upon the YX syllabus. Knowing that secondary school will come to an end after SS. No, our old was Form 5. Sir, Form 5 now. You know, so then it was Form 5 now. So we know that we're not going to be there forever. So I attended to YX syllabus. Whatever teaching in the class, not the syllabus, I didn't listen. I was a rascal. Whatever's not in the book, this is Heaven's syllabus. Clap your hands for Jesus. This is Heaven's syllabus. I'm not doing all this I'm doing for my children, for my wife, for you, just because I like you, but because I'm keeping the syllabus. Praise God, somebody. And one day, I'm going to have eternity with God. It's just one round up. It'll be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that's just the beginning. Praise God. That's where the devil fell out from. All that glory, he lost it all. That's why he's thinking, if I lose it all, you also must lose it all. That's why he wants you in hell with him. But thank God we are not going there. We are going to be with Jesus forever. Can you clap your hands for Jesus one more time? Whoa. So, we have seen the devil. Okay, now, nobody could beat the devil. Nobody could fight the devil when Jesus was when in the Old Testament. You will never see anybody under the Old Testament talking about the devil and fighting the devil. Nobody. That's why it's ridiculous to use the book of Psalms to attack the devil. When they wrote Psalms, it was not for the devil. It was written for you to learn and grow and David against his physical enemies. But let's go a step further. Let's go to Matthew 4. How come Jesus was qualified to defeat the devil? Let's go. Matthew 4. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go. Let's quickly read that one and round up. Praise God. Are we here? What qualified Jesus to defeat the devil? Matthew 4 verse 1. Take a look. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Next verse. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be become bread. It looks so simple, but it took so much energy. You know, it was about food. Our first Adam and Eve, it was food that he ate. Am I right? So it was back to food again. And Jesus said to the devil, defeated him. Am I right? Help me ask your neighbor. Why did Jesus defeat the devil? Why couldn't Job defeat the devil? Okay, you don't have any neighbor. Thank you. Why did Jesus defeat the devil? Why couldn't Job defeat the devil? Why couldn't anybody under the Old Testament defeat the devil? Listen, because every one of us were born through Adam. And because we are born through Adam, the line of sin was drawn into us. David said, my mother conceived me in iniquity. In sin I was born. Everybody that's born into this world by a woman, you are born into sin. If a man and a woman go to bed to give back to you, you are born under sin. And you never had any victory inside of you. Don't let all those guys lie to you that collect your money by motivational speaking. You got it made. It's in you. Not in you. And you collect the dollars well. And they talk. Hello? Hello? It's not in you. What is in you that time? Everybody born into this world. Let's see how the Bible described us. Ephesians 2. That's why we could not defeat the devil. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. Let's take a look. Give us an NLT. Make it clearer. Ephesians 2 verse 1. You see, I take the time to explain things in church so that you will have understanding. Not just come to church and just, you know, kasari jekarimu. No, you should give us life more that's clearer. Look at this. Once you are dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. So the Bible said you are dead spiritually. Remember God said to Abraham, Adam, the day you eat this fruit, you shall what? Die. Everybody, and some of you don't understand this. That's why I really feel sorry for you. See, everybody here is dead spiritually, except you receive Christ Jesus. That's your neighbor that has not received Jesus Christ in the spirit is dead. Ah, pastor is a very nice man. He's a dead man spiritually. Put your hands there. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 12. Why that? Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, what entered the world? Sin did what? Entered the world. Am I correct? And death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all did what? Now be very careful. Be very careful. When I say die spiritually, when I use this word death, 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 be careful. I don't mean like we saw inside the vehicle today, dead. God told Adam, the day you eat this fruit, you shall. Remember? Did he die physically that day? Just like this fan. If I put off this fan now, the power is off, but the fan will keep on rolling, right? Then after a while, it comes to a stop. So the same way. See, when Adam ate that fruit, spiritual death took place in him. What is spiritual death? A life cut away from God. When you cut a tree or cut a branch of a tree, it still looks green. Am I right? It looks green, but it's gradually withering to wither away. That's why you see human beings. When we are born, we look gorgeous. We look great. We start growing. And we get to a particular age between 30 and 40. We come to the plump of life. And from there, we start going. And sagging, and sagging, and sagging, and sagging, and we live here because our body has been affected by that thing called death. So this death is just more than death physically. It's death that has been cut off from God. That's why Jesus came to offer everlasting life. Everlasting life is not the life you get when you die, physically speaking. It's a life you receive in your spirit now. Let's talk about that later. So death spread to all men because all sin. So when Adam sinned in the garden, he introduced death. That being cut away from God to every one of us. So we didn't have wherewithal in God to face the enemy. And the devil now has become the new master of this world. So Jesus called him the devil, the prince of this world, the ruler of this world. In fact, Paul called him the God of this world. Adam should have been the one that, like the God of this world, with his master and dominion power. But when Adam bowed his knee, the devil took over. And just like when you have a house or you have a shop and you sublet the shop, that person is now taking hold of the shop. Are you hearing me? Thank you very much. So now we have that. So we all dead. You cannot be born again from the womb. You are born dead spiritually. Even if you are born again, if you are born in a pastor's home, your mommy transferred that same thing that was in her flesh makeup to you. Now, some of you don't get it. Let's go to Ephesians 2. You think you are okay. So let's go. Verse 1 again. Thus you are dead. Let's go. You are dead. Well, you are dead because, you see, you are dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. That's why you couldn't do it right. Many of us don't understand. We see our children. They are very, very angelic at the beginning. My angel. When 7, 8, 9, they become my demon. You start stealing and lying, and you wonder, where is it coming from? It's coming from your own passing. You pass across to them. You hearing me? Pass down over the years. Your many sins. Let's look at verse 2. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. Everybody that's born to this world is under devil's thumb. That's why don't blame politicians or people too much. They are directly being controlled many times by the devil to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Obeying the devil is, look. Is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God? Those who don't have the gospel, there's a spirit at work in them. So before you are born again, if you're not born again, you don't have that God's life. But if you're born again, you have the life of God. Now, my problem is that, listen, are we here? We have not been taught about this life. For instance, when a child is born, it's born with human life. But that human life is so infantile. Am I right? See, any baby here, any small baby. Can I have small baby? No small baby. Any small baby. Okay, thank you, my sister. Come. Jesus Boruko, me number one. Thank you, my sister. Oh, yeah, I didn't know it was you. Yeah, see, this baby, you like me? This baby has every organ, every tissue that adult has. But why is he being carried? Why can't he talk? He has the same tongue. That human life is at infantile stage. Am I right? But give us some years. This guy's going to preach like me or cut somebody open with knife as a surgeon, or argue like a lawyer in a court, or blow up a building to replace it with another new estate. This guy, see, he's just looking at me. What's your name? He doesn't know. So he's in charge. Somebody's in charge over this child, an adult life, to bring up this life. Imagine we leave him in church. What will happen? It's called child abuse. If you're in UK, you'll go to jail. Thank you, my sister. Same way spiritually. When you are born again, you're just like that. That's why it's good to have a proper child or proper church where we can actually grow. See, the typical church in Nigeria is just to go to church, hear preaching, dance, do different things, serve God. It's more than that. There's growth in form. Oh, I was saying church growth. No, church growth, pastors, don't get it wrong. Church growth to pastor means that we are becoming more in number. So if you have snake, you have snake growth, plenty number. No, that's not it. Church growth, actually, people growing to become what God has put inside of them. That's why you can't just look at somebody in church and say, now, it's a child of God, but he has to still grow. Are you hearing me? Now, that baby, can he cook now? Can he go out on his own? Somebody has to help him. But it will be a sad day when he's 25 years old. Mommy still carrying him. Oh, no, magic. So the life of God, I'm talking about life. So Satan is the one that comes with sin. So when Adam sinned, back to it again now, we lost out with life. We still have human life. But the life that God wanted us to have was no longer there. So in that day, Adam died. Though he was still alive, he was still intelligent, but there's something inside of him that connects with God was no longer there. That's why Jesus came. Jesus was more than human. He became human so that he could defeat the devil. See, every person, let's go to John 14, every person born into this world, that Satan at work in our heart. Everybody born to this world. Now, it's still in your flesh. It's still in your flesh. It's still in your natural makeup. It's still there. But then your super nature of life of God in you should overtake that. Like that child now. See that baby? Want to put something on the floor and eat it. Drop it. Yeah! But after a while, he won't take that and eat it anymore. Am I right? How many of you get up regularly and eat from your garbage? No, you don't. Are we here? Are we here? Where did we stop? Huh? John 14. Now, Jesus, see, every human being born here, including Job, every one of us, there's something wrong within us that we could never face the devil. Pastor, are you saying that nobody ever fought the devil and overcame the devil in the Old Testament? Nobody did. Nobody, 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 nobody. See, when evil spirit was tormenting Saul, remember that? Saul was going berserk. Just see, Emesuk, I can't breathe. The only thing they could do was to invite David to play worship and praise. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he will calm down the guy. But once in a while, will calm you down. That will inspire Saul to take javelin and throw it at David. What David is playing is watching with one eye, the Lord is my shepherd. One time. So the guy, David said, Emil, play, went through the door, never came back. That spirit tormented Saul all his life because he had left God. And they couldn't do anything about it. But Jesus was the first one to come in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and demand that evil spirit get out. And they did. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Jesus doesn't have that sin in him. We were born with it, but he was not born with it. It was God that was made human. Praise God, somebody. You can't put Jesus in the class of Buddha or in the class of Muhammad. Muhammad was born a sinner. Buddha was born a sinner. Guru was born a sinner. But Jesus was the Son of God that became Son of Man. That Son of Man may become sons of God. Hallelujah. So let's look at Jesus before we close. Are you blessed? Jesus qualified to be the one that will beat the devil. So that's why, are we here? That's why we use the name of Jesus. Don't ever face the devil with Olimolade or Babalola. These old guys are all sinful. They were born in sin. They got born again and became prophet. But you take the name of Jesus, is the highest, the best, the greatest name. Let's look at that before we close. Let's go to, who was Jesus? He was just born a baby, but he was more than a baby. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Give us in Message Bible. The Word was first. The Word present to God. God present to the Word. The Word was God. If you are in the second service last Sunday, I was talking about things like this. I was talking about Trinity. Someone said, what is Trinity? I don't understand. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Who is Holy Spirit? Second service, I'm talking about it. There was a man that was questioning that. Are we serving three gods or one God or how many gods or what? Get it right. In the beginning was the Word. Give us again, NKJV. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I'm a Jerry Jehovah. You know how many people are Jerry Jehovah? You have witnesses. They were scared of this verse, and then they removed the word God and put small letter G there. I got their Bible. I still have one of their Bibles around me. And the Word was a God. So they worship Orisha, called God. No, it's not. What God was, the Word was. Pastor, what's that mean with that? I told them second service last week that Jesus appeared to a man in India and explained to him what is Trinity, what is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, imagine the big sun over there. Big sun, some of you over here, that's your problem. You can't, when Muslim ask you, Olorun meta lensin, can you explain? Fumile. What is in here? Then you quote verse and say, God is one. And your Bible, God is one. How can God be three? Don't worry. I'm going to ask my pastor. So your pastor is asking you today. So Jesus told him, he said, look at the big sun, S-U-N. Type it for me on the screen. Can you type it for me? The word sun, S-U-N, the sun out there. The big, shining sun. You see it? Up there in the sky. Now that sun cannot get across to us except through light rays. Am I right? Can you see the sun now? But is the sun out there? What happened? Our planet has turned away from geography. Remember? You should remember that one now. You know, when our planet turned away from the sun, it's dark. The sun is still there, but we can't see the sun. We call it solar. Now, moment the sunlight comes, you can see the sun. It's the light from the sun. You can never appreciate the sun without the light coming from there. That's our reaction. That's how we see what we do over here. Then, in that sunlight, there is heat. That's why when you walk under the sun, you move around, you start sweating. Why? There is heat in the light that comes from the sun. Now, the sun, the light, and the heat, they are all the same thing, right?
Pastor, can I ask you a question? When did Jesus start to start? Is it that after God came out, became big, he now took Jesus small, and then developed him, became Jesus big?
No. When did the light begin? The light began when the sun began. Right? Because the light is the shining of the sun. Let's go and see it. Good. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Take a look. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, look at the next verse, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through most of the world. Who is Jesus? Next verse. What does it say? Who be the brightness? So, God has no brightness. See, you cannot see God. You can't comprehend God. See, when I look at the sun, I can't see the sun without the light. The light portrays the sun, right? So, the only way I can appreciate God is through Jesus.
So, here you are.
And see, that's why, now, there's trouble now. That's why I'm very careful with all this God we do in Africa. All those things we do, all this oriki. I'm very careful with them because you cannot express Jesus clearly from the Yoruba culture. It's a dead, sinful culture. We can find some light from there, but it's not the best. Jesus is the accurate, precision expression of God. This is how God told me. I was in my village years ago, reading my Bible. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. I said, what's that? It was my father's bedroom. I was reading my Bible there. And I had this in my spirit. Said, God said to me, if I'm at that corner in the bedroom, you can see my father's bedroom now. He said, if I'm in that corner there, God, Jehovah God, there. And I told you, I'm at that corner there. Are you hearing me? He said, if you go to that corner there, you will see me. But me that you see there is my expression.
Pastor, can you make it easier? I know Trinity, you hear me, but are they really one?
The best picture of Trinity is marriage. Male and female, they become what? Can I ask you a question? Is male superior to female? See, they've been fighting for years. Is female inferior? Girls are looking at me. Some boys think like that. These girls are just girls. Just, you know, I don't know, beat them up. You know, see, male and female were made the same day. The struggle you see today between male and female was from the fall, was not from creation. Adam's fall brought the struggle between the gender. And until the fall is clear and Jesus comes, that will still always be there because the fall is the fall. Are you hearing me? Tuba subu osubu na niye. Olua agbe di dele o. So you are. So you are. See, when somebody start learning Jesus Christ very well, you will not look down on a female or look up to a male and think it's your problem. I thought we were talking about Jesus. It will help. Huh? Trinity by marriage. See, here we are. Pastor, let's go home. My head is swimming. First of all, with four living creatures. That's already complicated. With eyes, with lion, with eagle. Now, I'm just coming out of that. You're talking about Jesus now, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Then marriage. Lord, 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 Lord. So, just like we have Trinity, we have Dinity in our house. We're one flesh. Is that all right? So, the Father, Jesus, in the beginning was. Now, nobody could comprehend Jesus. Look at this. Who being the brightness of the glory of his glory and the express image. So, if you want to... Oh, this will bless you. If you want to see God well, don't look at Oriki. If you want to see who God looks like, don't look at whatever. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. So, listen. If you are going to understand God well, go and sit down with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's God manifest in the flesh. Now, can you imagine a God who behaves completely like Jesus? Can you imagine a God who lives like Jesus? He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's why we have all kinds of horrible ideas about God, because we never see God in Christ. They've accused God of all kinds, and God killed my mother, God killed my father. No, God is the one who is weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. Am I right? That's God. God is the one who stood up and rebuked the storms. That's God. Not the God who say, I'm watemini, kunye alone. That's the God who cries and weeps over Jerusalem. That's the God who plays with children and said, don't let them get away from me. They are types of the kingdom of God. You never listen to God. You've seen God in all kinds of ways and all kinds of things. See, who is God? Women flock around him, right? Martha, Mary, Magdalene found their destiny in him. Am I right? They were cut off at home and neglected. Jesus gave them. Can you imagine? He gave them such honor to go and announce that he was resurrected when the boys won't listen. He raised women's status. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. God fights religion. Jesus was here. He said, woe upon you, Pharisees and Sadducees. So Jesus doesn't like religion. He likes to scatter churches. Because sometimes the churches put more on their tradition than on people. Like one boy, he just got married and went to church. He never knew men sit on this side and women sit on this side. He just married and was going with his wife. And sat beside his wife, the elders, the keepers of tradition, just carried him. I took him out. How dare you? Go get out! You know, I mean, they forgot about love of married. I mean, the guy he's just in love, man. He just got married. He just spoiled the day for him. So when you go to church, God hates you in that way. He just separates you. Huh? Are we here? God is the one who will say, fear not, believe only. Am I right? I mean, that's God. It's manifest. See, if you see God healing Jesus Christ, all the other, God is the one. You know, when I was very small, I go to my father's church and they talk about God. Is God something God? And I began to read my Bible and I saw Jesus. I said, I want to stay with Jesus, then stay with the church. Honestly, Jesus is God in expression. I just want to see that today. And please listen. Nobody can explain God like Jesus. Some of you, that's why you don't like me. See, I say things in the Bible that Jesus said, and people are struggling with it. Jesus said, don't pray, repeat, baba, baba, baba. He said, don't pray like that. Who's talking? Jesus, who was with the Father, who was God manifest in the flesh, right? But you are going to steal tradition. Jehovah, Memo. Jesus Christ, Memo. Then that's their own. They have their own too. Hallelujah, Meji. Oh yeah, hallelujah. Blood of Jesus. Like something just kind of. We're going to see some of those things. God is going to help us. But tell your neighbor beside you, when you look at Jesus, you are looking at God. He's the kind of, I don't want to say this one, he's the kind of person that will go to wedding and multiply and give you fresh wine. Okbari, Bala Bele. Is the kind of person that will fight you and go and eat in your house. Can you just imagine that? Is the kind of person that sinners will gather around them. what a loving Jesus. And it'd be a privilege to see him one day face by face. One man went to heaven and he was trying to look at God. The glory around God was too much. And Jesus said, don't look at the throne. You can't see. Look at me. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Look at me. It's the expression of God. I don't have to stop service today. So Jesus became a human being. Let's go. John chapter 1, verse 14. Message Bible. Let's round up. Our time is up. Oh, boy. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and blood. Everybody, what is the next? Huh? And move where? We call God with us. He moved into where? He moved to Cana of Galilee. He moved to Nazareth. Am I right? He became one of our neighbors. Praise God, somebody. Look at what's in this. And we saw the glory with our own eyes. The one of a kind glory. Like Father, like Son. Generous. Inside out. Genuine. From start to finish. Praise God, somebody. Like Father, like Son. Next verse, verse 15. Let's rush. Our time is gone. John pointed him out and called, this is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me, has always had the first word. Next verse. We all live off his generous bounty, gifts, after gifts, after gifts. Yeah, that's why that song, I said I didn't like that song. About, you know, I didn't come for your hand. I come for your presence. I'm not here to seek for anything. He's a giver. I mean, it should be wrong for you to go to a man who is dashing things and said, I'm not here to collect your thing. Then get out! He gives us life, breath, and all things. Every time you go, have you been to that kind of people like that? Some people like that. They are giver to the fault. You go to their house, they give you something. They give you, you want to go back, don't you? It is normal. I mean, they give you microwave, they give you blender. Next time you go in, they give you shoes, they give you clothes. Next time you went, they give you bed. You say, let me go next time. You give me a car. They don't like God like that. They said, no. Like one Muslim met me. One Muslim told me, he said, we don't worship God like you worship. You worship God of blessing. And we just worship God. I said, I know. You are all slaves. We are children. Children enjoy the things of their father. And their mom. Have you seen women torment their mother more than anybody else? Mommy will leave coke on the table before she come back. What do you mean? Mommy leaves change on the table. For daddy, they may not do that. But for mommy, I change, come back. How much left? Mommy, like my beer. And you're leaving me now. That's children for you. Tell yourself, I'm a child of God. And his blessings are vast and numerous for me. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Are you here? Don't be embarrassed of God's blessing. You know, sometimes, your father has a good car. Don't be embarrassed. Drive it now. And remember, say, it's not your own. Tell him, shut up. My father's own. And what belongs to me. You know that? Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Next verse. Let's round up. Okay, what did he say? We got the basics from Moses. And then this exuberant giving and receiving. This endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Jesus, the Messiah. Some people, they just go to church for the basics. Huh? Don't kill, don't steal, don't. And they sing like song like this. Mama, Binu, see me, Olu, Olu. Their songs really about Ibinu. They never come home to enjoy and live, giving and receiving, endless knowing and understanding. You know, I don't know about you. You see, every day I'm excited. I wake up like this every day. I'm thinking, I'm going to see something about God I've never seen before. That's why, if you don't read the Bible, you'll be frustrated. What did I say? Read the Bible. Next verse. Whoa. Take a look. I stop here. No one has ever seen God. Moses never seen God. Abraham never seen God. Say, no one. No one. Isaiah never seen God. They saw the vision of God. God cannot be, like I told you again, the sun is out there, but without the light, you cannot appreciate him. This one of a kind God expression who exists at the very heart of the Father has made him as plain as day. Can I close like this? You will never know God by coming to church. You will never know God by just coming to listen to teaching like this. You will only know God when you start looking at him through Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Is that all right? You know, as I close, you know what caused my mind now as I close? You know what caused my mind as I close? Someone said, where is God? When I'm going through my mess, what's God doing? Let's answer those two questions. Where is God? He's on the cross, his hands stretched out, going through the pain and screaming, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's God. It's right in the pain. It's right in the suffering. It's right in the struggle. It's not the kind of God that you go to when you are trying to worship him and you are doing ablution and you pass out gas. Start all over again. It's a God who in the blood and the sweat and the pain and the ugliness is stretching forth his arms, welcoming you. And finally, what's God doing? He's weeping. Is weeping. Remember Lazarus? I mean, if you are the one that was Jesus and you know that you are going to raise Lazarus from the dead, will you cry? Ask me, will you cry? Prof, I won't cry. I'll come and say, big boys, keep quiet, Jerry, everybody here. Don't you know who's speaking? What's it, baby? I'm going to agenda. But just look at Jesus. See the God weeping. Just walked in there and he said, where have you laid him? And was weeping. And at the same time, he was angry. You didn't see that one there. He said he was angry. What was he angry? He was angry at death. He was nothing like a horse. Where have you laid him? He said, tears. Knowing fully well that we are captives, we are victims. We're not actually bad. We're not demons, we are human. Deceived and demented. But thank God, he's ransoming us. Thank God, he's going after us. We may be in the dust, we may be in the dirt, but he will take us out. My enemy, don't rejoice over me. For when I fall, and when I'm in the dark, the light will rise. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. 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 Tell the neighbor, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Can you close your eyes and say, Jesus, I want to see you more. I want to know you more. You are God's expression. You are God on the move. You are the God who died. You are the God who rose. You are the God who is alive forevermore. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That I'm in league and in partnership with you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody open your eyes. Now, this will surprise you. Last Sunday, I came to second service to teach, but something just overtook me, and it was about Jesus. I came over here, you didn't notice because you thought I was following my notes. But it just dawned on me that Jesus is what we need most for life. I read this verse to them as we close, we go home with this, we give our offering. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, verse 9. Give us an NLT as a random. I want you to see that this is so important as we leave this auditorium. God will do this, or God is faithful. For he's faithful to do what he says. Why? For he has invited you into what? Into what? Into partnership with who? Tell yourself, I'm in partnership with the Son of God. Say it one more time. I'm in partnership with the Son of God. Can you say louder? I'm in partnership with the Son of God. Now, if you're in partner with a rich man, you won't lack money. If you're in partnership with a powerful man, you won't lack strength. Of course, if you're in partnership with a restaurant, food will be no longer a problem. If you're in partnership with Jesus, God is with you. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. I want us to get on our knees one more time. Can we get on our knees? I want you to place your life one more time under the partnership of Jesus. I say, Jesus, you have chosen to be my partner. It's now left to me to choose this partnership. I embrace your partnership through life. And I know it's not just only for this life, even for eternity. I freshly embrace this partnership. Jesus, he said, I'm knocking at the door. If any man open, I will come in. Jesus, we open to you our whole life. Not just our heart alone, our whole life. Our waking up and sleeping life, our academic life, our spiritual life, our work life, our family life, our sexual life, our financial life, our emotional life. Jesus, we open to your partnership. Our joyful life, our frustrating life, whichever part of our life, we invite you, we respect you. You already invited us, so we accept the invitation that you are with us. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever we place in your hand, we know it cannot go bad because you are faithful. Thank you. My future, my past, my present, they are now in partnership with you. I will read my life in the light of your partnership. I will read my future in the light of your partnership. When I find myself in a storm, I know you are in the boat with me. When I find myself at a graveyard, I know you are my resurrection. When I find myself in the desert, I know you are my water. When I find myself hungry, I know you are the bread of life. Thank you for offering me this partnership. I welcome again everything of this partnership into my life. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for giving me Jesus' partnership. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Get up on your feet. Let's give our offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody said, every revelation is a surrender. As we give our offering, we surrender afresh to this God of a kind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I hope mommy will allow me to do this. I feel as we pray for them publicly. Can I go ahead, ma? Thank you. Where's Tiffy and the brother? Thank you. Come. These are Mama Gudimu's grandsons. They just finished in the school. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. They just both graduated. Come over here. Come. Okay. This is Tiffy. I know Tiffy quite well. What's your name? Tommy. Yes. Toby. That's Mama Gudimu. I don't know if you know Mama Gudimu now. I want to ask her to get up. If you don't know Mama, you're not in this church. That's Mama Gudimu there. All right. And these are grandsons. They just graduated from university. And can we all stand up? Can you kneel down? We just want to pray for you. We want to commit them to the grace of God. Can you do this with us? Jesus has made you his own. Can you stretch forth your hands toward them? Stretch forth your hands. I want you to pray for them. My mom brought them to church today so that we can pray for them. Prof, please come. Yeah, please come. Let's lay hands on them. Let's. To the enabling blessing to help you through life, to navigate life with you. We're talking about partnership with Jesus today. That's quite critical for our lives. So just pray for them that the Lord will help them. Pray that they will grow in wisdom, they will grow in stature, in favor with God and with men. They will be mighty on the inside. The Lord will help them to take hold of what is critical in life. They will not waste their time going round and round and round. They will find their way forward, and they will not be limited by wrong companionship since they are in partnership with Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for these young men. We present them to you before the throne of your grace. We ask for help, your grace to help them in time of need. Thank you, Lord, for helping them to find their way through life. That they will not stagger like a drunken man through life, but you push them forward, give them the way, shine your light on them to see what to do, how to live life well. Lord, we pray that they will have a good standing in life. They will have a good life, a good marriage, a good future, a good job, and a good life in your kingdom. We pray that they find themselves spiritually fitting. They will find a place, they will find a church that will bless and increase and multiply whatever you have given them in your kingdom. We thank you, Father. So we lay our hands on them, and we ask you to be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue and have dominion. Along with the grace of Jesus, reign and rule in life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Congratulations, guys. Let's get through with school. Thank you. Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Great. Beautiful. Let's go home. Can we give our offering? Don't sit down again.